here this morning.
You bet. Things are going on all the time at Hitchcock House, but you have a special event coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we have the Blue Tones will be there the second time this year from 2 to 4 on Sunday the 26th, and they were very well received the first time they were there, and we're looking forward again to a good crowd, and they do excellent music for us.
Quite a variety of music.
Yeah, they have a good variety. Yeah.
People need to bring their lawn chairs or whatever.
Yeah, bring the lawn chairs if it should happen to rain, and we hope it does.
Yes.
There's the big red barn there, and there's a stage in there, and we can use that. So the show will not be canceled because it rains.
All right.
But we actually hope it does rain.
Yeah, I think your crowd might be bigger if it rained, actually, because everybody's wanting it to rain.
Right.
So this has sort of been an ongoing, I know for a number of years you've had this music on the lawn kind of thing, just to get people to come out and visit Hitchcock House.
Yeah, we've done this for as long as I've been on the board, and that's been 10 years or so, and then we've just done that because it's something that people like, and there's no charge, and gives them an opportunity to see the house, and whether they've been there or whether they haven't, it gives them an opportunity to see what we've got out there.
And, of course, the house is open for tours at that time.
The house is open for tours from 1 to 4 on Sunday. And
there is a fee for that.
There's a fee for that. It's $5 for adults. Children under 12 are admitted for free.
All right. And if you haven't been there, we were just talking about how people, you know, they don't know what's in their own backyard, maybe haven't been to Hitchcock House. This would be a good time to go, good Sunday afternoon kind of thing to do with your family. Now, what other hours are you open if they don't get there on Sunday afternoon?
We're closed on Monday, but from May 1 to September 30th, we're open Tuesday through Sunday.
In the afternoon
from 1 to 4.
Okay.
And tours are set up at the granary, which is the gift shop, and stop there and tell them that you want to take a tour, and there's always be somebody there to take them through. Tours last about an hour, whatever you want to make them last, but normally it takes about an hour to go through.
Interesting stories. All of you who do those tours have the good background and interesting stories to tell. I want to come back a little later and ask you about some questions that people ask. But before we do that, I want you to mention the granary, because I think a lot of people don't know that that's there and what the purpose and what's happening with that.
The granary is our gift shop. And we opened that. It was open when I started on the board, but it was built a good many years after the house.
It was not a part of the
original. It was not a part of the original structure. But we're putting an addition on, or planning an addition for the granary, for office space and more room, adding a restroom, give the people a little more opportunity to see what we've got to offer for souvenirs.
Yes, souvenirs, and some of them, the last I was in there, some of them are not just things to gather dust. Some of them are quite useful. As I recall, there was a cookbook, and there was, and jams and jellies. I don't know if you still have those.
We don't have the jams and jellies anymore. Our jam and jelly maker retired, and so we don't have that, but they were excellent when she did it.
Yes. So stop in and see what's there. I'm sure that does vary from time to time.
We enjoy having people stop.
Yeah. And that's another person you can visit with. I'm sure whoever is there handling the granary also has some good background and some good stories to tell.
Everybody that's there volunteers. They all are volunteers, but everybody that's there has some knowledge of the Hitchcock House and the reason it was there and why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can get a good idea of what's happening there without paying the $5 fee if they don't want to take the tour.
It might motivate them to get in because it is just interesting, I think, to go into the house and try to imagine what it was like to live in the house, because there were several children in that family, and then to go downstairs and see where the slaves actually hid away.
Right. George Hitchcock built that house for the express purpose of harboring slaves, runaways. But he had seven children, I believe it was seven, and came here in 1855 to as a congregational minister, and built that house with stone from the Jester Quarry, which is down by the lake. Mm-hmm. That's the Lewis Lake.
So you get a feeling for that whole area. I mean, going in the house, I think, is really important. But then you go out and you can walk around the grounds. Aren't there a couple walking trails?
There's walking trails from the front Hitchcock house down to the river. And there's several places that you can just kind of mosey around and take a look. Yeah. And
bring a picnic.
Bring a picnic down and take all the time you want.
And then, as I recall, there's some history about the Mormon Trail. The Mormon Trail didn't go through there.
The Mormon Trail did. It didn't go through there, but there was two tracks for the Mormon Trail, and their Hitchcock House sits between them. You can see, we have a plaque down there that tells people where to look, and you can see where they were, mm-hmm. and they did travel through that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So lots of Iowa history, national history, actually, when you connect it all together. But Underground Railroad, where are the railroad tracks?
We get that question often. There's no tracks. The Underground Railroad was a fiction, and they used the terms of passengers and freight and that kind of thing as a code, and they called it the Underground Railroad, but there was no tracks. There was no railroad. We have people ask where the tunnel is from the river to the Hitchcock House. Have they ever heard that people come up in a canoe and use a tunnel to go in there? That's all fun. We get a kick out of people asking those questions.
One of the stories.
Yeah.
How many people would stay in this spot? You know, to me, when I think about it, because I've been in there, and it's not teeny tiny, but it's not a very big space. And of course, they had to be in there in the dark most of the time. Do you have any history of how many people at one time might be there?
We've never ever found any kind of a document on this, but our thinking is that probably two or three would be the most that would be there at one time.
Because they wouldn't travel in groups.
There's not traveling in groups, and they didn't dare stay too long, because if they were caught up there, they not only got taken back to where they came from, but the people who were harboring them went along. They got arrested also. So it behooved people to move. And get to moving, move out, and so they didn't stay too long.
Right. And what kind of transportation? How did they get from one safe spot to the next safe
spot?
Well,
a lot of them walked, a lot of them rode horses, a lot of them took a wagon, a lot of them were just kind of drifting through. You know?
Okay. Okay. And what about? There's a story about hanging quilts on the clothesline for some kind of signal.
Yeah, that came up out of the South more, and the people down there. It wasn't people who were moving through, but the people who stayed.
The houses were
in the houses. They built those quilts, and that's a myth. A lot of time, a lot of us is myth. A lot of it's true. We don't know really how much of that happened or whatever. But they did make those quilts, and they are interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other kind of unusual or often asked questions?
Often asked questions what happened to the little kids? What happened to the babies? Issue very often. People didn't bring babies to that because when they were escaping slavery, they didn't take their little ones with them. They usually left them with a aunt or a grandma or somebody that wasn't able to travel. But they didn't. Normally, they wouldn't bring the kids. But there were cases where they did bring them, mm-hmm. and they were muffled. They just kept them quiet.
Yes, yes. And what else?
What else? Well,
I'm thinking you have all these kids that come through on every spring.
We have
certain grades come.
The fifth grade class, I believe, and they every year, but there's about 30, 40, 50 of them come through. The story we like to tell about two slaves that were at Hitchcock House on a Sunday. Or they got there on Saturday. They were there going to be there on Sunday morning. And the authorities came looking for them, showed up. They were dressed as ladies, put in a buggy, and taken to the ferry house to cross the river, and they were going to church in Lewis.
Ah.
And as they crossed the river, the buggy stopped, they got out and headed west, or east, and they went.
They made it.
They made it.
Yeah.
But that's a story. And
yeah.
I don't know whether it's true or not.
Well, it's like a lot of things, a lot of stories. Again, so this Sunday time.
This Sunday is at 2 to 4 at Hitchcock House, the Blue Tones, and they do an excellent job, and we're looking forward to having a good crowd, and remember, no charge.
All right.
Okay.
And if you want to see Hitchcock House, bring your friends, your whatever. Yeah. 1 to 4 Monday through, or excuse me, Tuesday. You're closed on Monday. Tuesday through Sunday.
Tuesday through Sunday. We're open from 1 to 4.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sid Winchell, for visiting with
us. Well, thank you for having us out here. It was a pleasure.
Great. Thank you. Until next time, here's a thought. Good fortune comes with a good education.